This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And away we go into the 4 o'clock hour. We welcome you back to Gwen and Chris. Chris, hello. Matt Scraby together today in our Odyssey Palace studios. Scraby's mind is elsewhere because he's 7-1 in his bracket so far, and he just saw his beloved Dayton Flyers pull out a 63-60 win over Nevada. We got to bring you back into the show now for the last 2 hours.
I'm ready.
Hopefully you'll be with us. Tony Gwynn Jr. is not with us. He's on a long flight from Korea back to San Diego. I believe the Padres get in tonight, 9, 10 o'clock, something
like that, yeah.
And so they'll be back in town. They'll try to get back on their body clocks tomorrow. Saturday is the celebration of life for Peter Seidler. Sunday is the Padre Fan Fest. Monday and Tuesday, the Padres have exhibition games against the Mariners. Next Wednesday, they're off. Next Thursday, they start the season again against the San Francisco Giants. If you missed it earlier today, Padres pounded out a 15-11 victory over the Dodgers to go 1-1 on the Korean road trip. Big day for Jake Cronenworth, 4-for-4, 4 RBIs. Campusano had 3 hits and 2 ribbies. The Padres scored 5 in the first, 4 in the third. They led 9-2. But they couldn't put it away until Manny Machado slugged, and I mean slugged,
yeah,
a 3-run homer in the top of the 9th inning. That gave them the final 4-run margin. Mookie Betts homered and drove in 6 for the Dodgers. Yamamoto debut, worth more like $3.25, not $325 million.
That is a good line, Chris.
1 inning. 4 hits, 1 walk, 1 hit batter, 5 runs. And like I said earlier, Dave Roberts was just nice to let him finish the inning. Because you could see he wanted to just like, get him out of here, please.
There was a point where he had his hands up on the thing and he just kind of threw them up in the air like, really?
Yeah, it was a bad performance. Max Muncy was especially bad. He had 2 errors today and he boxed 2 other plays that led directly to Padre runs. Max Muncy sucks. All right, we're going to have to put that away because that's a little harsh. Sounds really harsh. There's no context to it when you play it like that.
It's a little harsh, but it's accurate.
I'm glad you're having fun with that. Padres, this is, get ready, sitting down, I hope, for this statistic. Padres were 10 of 24 today, hitting with runners in scoring position. I don't know that they had 10 hits with runners in scoring position all of last season. Or so it seemed.
I haven't been able to find it.
No, I'm talking about the whole season combined. They didn't seem like they had 10 hits with runners in scoring position.
We talked about it that much last year.
Yeah, they had 10 today, and they evened things up. All right, we're going to play some Chris versus the fans on the scoreboard. 1 NCAA game going at the moment. They're very early. Colorado State 8, Texas 6. We'll keep you up to date, so keep your brackets handy. But right now, time to give you a chance to qualify for a trip to Las Vegas. Grand prize, if you win the drawing, 2-night stay, Fontainebleau, and dinner for 2. You can immerse yourself in timeless elegance at Fontainebleau Las Vegas. It's a luxury resort, gaming, and meeting destination. The legacy of Fontainebleau Las Vegas is built upon more than 70 years of sublime beauty, unparalleled service, timeless design. Book now at FontainebleauLasVegas.com. Let's play Chris versus the fans.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Alright, the rules. You have to make it through three questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win. If you're a first-time player, let us know before you get into the first question and you will get that question for free today. Alright, we had a first player winner yesterday, didn't we, Chris? It was either first or second player winner.
Solid performance. I believe it was Lance yesterday.
Lance, that's right.
Turned in a good performance. Won Chris versus the fans. I've been missing a lot of these questions lately, so that's a good time for you to play.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times, if I'm missing, you can advance, even if you don't know the answer. There's other times when I'm just, like, on fire, and I don't miss anything, and everybody gets eliminated. But lately, you've been stumping me, and I know that that makes you very happy.
It does.
Yeah,
almost too much.
Almost as happy as a four-out save by Robert Suarez made you today.
That made me jump for joy this morning.
I know it did.
Made me jump for joy.
Yes, you should have sent a tweet directly. You should have DM'd Josh Hader with that news.
Oh, I think all the responses that I got notified Josh Hader
of everything.
I don't actually think he's on Twitter, which is pretty smart on his part. But anyway. All right, let's go to our first contestant today, Scott in San Diego. What's up, Scott?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Very good, Scott. Very good.
You ready to go?
Yes, sir.
Let's play ball.
Here we go. Question number one. Well, if you were listening the other day, I messed this up. What is the mascot for Alabama Birmingham?
Their nickname.
Their nickname, yeah. Not mascot. Sorry.
Not mascot. What's their nickname? Team the Aztecs play tomorrow. UAB.
I have no idea.
You don't know?
Uh-oh.
Well,
it's going to cost. It's unfortunate.
Yeah. Scrappy said they were the Dragons, which is incorrect.
Well, their logo is a dragon.
But they're called the Blazers. So, if nothing else, Scott, you at least will take that information with you into the game tomorrow. When the Aztecs play Blazers.
That is absolutely true.
Very good.
All right, let's move on to our next contestant. Let's go to Trevor. What's up, Trevor?
Hi, Trevor.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Welcome in.
Are you ready to go?
I'm ready. I got my buddy next to me, Tyler. He's going to help me out.
All right, Trevor and Tyler. Trevor and Tyler. Here we go. Question number one. In the movie Mr. 3000, what team does Bernie Mac's character play for?
The Brewers.
The Brewers is correct.
I was going to say, that was not an easy one.
But, really? You don't think so?
I don't think everybody knows that movie.
I love that movie.
You do?
It's great. I love it.
I'm glad you do.
You know, there is some rumor that it was, like, the character was kind of based on Tony Gwynn, which doesn't make me happy.
Oh, on Tony Sr.
Because Mr. 3000, all that stuff.
But Tony Gwynn Jr., no. Or Tony Gwynn Sr.?
Yes.
No.
Well, that was what the rumor was. They based his character off of that.
Very loosely and just not accurate. So don't put that in people's minds.
Oh, my gosh.
It's way off.
How do you know that, though?
I do. Because I know Tony Gwynn.
But, okay. You're taking and this I know very what the, seriously.
Yeah, I am. Because I think you're throwing something out there that doesn't need to be out there.
But you're saying it's not a fact when you don't actually know that.
But you don't know it's a fact, but now the fact that you threw it out there, every time people watch the movie Mr. 3000, they're going to think, is this based on Tony Gwynn Sr.? And I don't like you putting that out there.
Sorry about this, Trevor and Tyler. Let's get to our second question. Who holds the rookie record for home runs in a season set in 2019?
Pete Alonso.
Pete Alonso, wow, is correct. That's pretty good.
You know something, Trevor? You might want to at least take a half of a breath before you answer.
You're answering too quick for our liking.
No, we're not.
No,
he's doing great.
Let's do it.
Yeah. He's doing great. He wants to wrap it up right here, so let's let him. Let's see if he can do it.
Question number three.
I have a feeling he's going to do it.
What team did Yoshinobu Yamamoto play for when he was with the Nippon Professional Baseball League in Japan?
The Giants.
Those are the Giants.
Stay there.
Yeah, I don't know. So.
Oh, they said it a couple times during the game.
I don't turn the sound up, especially on a lot of these broadcasts. All right, but I do know some names of some teams, so I could, maybe guess it right. The Mariners, Chiba Latte Mariners.
I do love that name, Chibolante.
Yeah.
I don't know. The Mariners.
No, Trevor's a winner right off the bat.
Trevor,
well,
stay there.
He's a good contestant, so I don't mind losing to a guy like that. Yeah, I don't know. Where did Yamamoto play?
He was an Oryx Buffalo.
An Oryx Buffalo.
For his entire career, I think.
His whole career. I've never heard of the Oryx Buffalo, so I couldn't even have guessed them.
Well, yeah, I'm looking right now. Oryx Buffalo, yep.
Okay, good.
He's good.
Very good. Good question. Trevor, good contestant. You qualify for a chance to go to Las Vegas. Good for you. That's a quick addition of Chris versus the fans today is what that is.
That is a really quick addition to
asking tough questions. Then the game is over too soon. A little National Football League news for you today. There's always some news. Although the signings have slowed down. Is that because everybody already signed, Scrabe, or is there anybody?
Well, Jordan Montgomery's still out there.
I'm talking about the NFL. I don't believe Jordan Montgomery is an NFL player.
I'm flustered now.
No, because you're still watching, you know, the basketball.
No, I'm not.
Am I going to have to turn off the TVs?
You can't handle turning off the TVs.
Well, I can also do the show while they're on.
You're not showing that ability
right now.
I'm not watching TV right now.
All right.
I'm not watching TV. The NFL, though, I mean, yeah, most of those guys are already signed. So now it's just like undrafted players, ancillary players.
Are you still doing your draft research?
Oh, yeah.
Draft is coming up
April 27th, I think.
Oh, really? We got more than a month.
Yeah, let me make sure.
You know, I just wish the draft would be tomorrow so we didn't have to keep hearing previews of the draft.
There's a lot of them.
That would be something I would appreciate. We talked to you the other day about the NFL going to be looking at some rule changes, potentially.
Yes.
Changing the kickoff, the alignment on the kickoff. They haven't voted on that yet, so we don't know. But the NFL officials, referees, have jumped in on the proposal to outlaw the hip drop tackle.
Okay.
As gatekeepers of the game, this is something that we have to remove, said Troy Vincent, NFL's executive vice president. He's a former player. So they're coming after this hard. The hip drop is when you grab a guy around the midsection,
yep,
and then you drop to the ground and yep, pull them with you.
Yeah, use your weight.
We've seen a lot of people get hurt on that tackle. So is there any part of you that thinks that this is kind of leading to the wussification of the game at all? You know, the NFL has outlawed a whole lot of stuff.
I think I kind of agree with this one.
Quarterbacks can't get touched, the whole thing. There are still some people who just want to see these guys just take each other's heads off every Sunday.
I don't know if I'm that guy anymore.
Okay.
But I do think that this is a good thing to ban because it does seriously injure these guys. And it can cause career-ending injuries. If you break right, your leg, you're a running back.
You don't
want to
lose all the good players.
that's a good point, Chris.
So
you really don't want to lose all the good players.
All right. So we'll see where that goes. They're going to vote out in the next, you know, coming weeks. But the one to look out for is that kickoff rule.
Yes.
They're going to change the way the kickoffs look, and it's going to look like something you've never seen before, unless you're a former XFL fan.
I tweeted it out yesterday, the picture that Chris picked out, so you could see an example. But I also read yesterday, we were talking a couple days ago, and I said, I bet you Odell Beckham Jr. is going to be a Miami Dolphin. And the rumors were that he's visiting with the team, and he's talking about joining the Miami Dolphins. And
does he have to?
I don't know.
What do we need a guy that's going to make six catches all season for?
That's a great
point.
Seems
a waste.
That is a great
point.
And
plus, he's going to demand, you know, multi-million dollars.
He will. Yeah.
I know.
He can't get the $15 million or whatever he got last year. He had 500 yards and three touchdowns.
You know what? If the Dolphins or any other team is stupid enough to give him that money, that's on them.
Okay.
It's not his fault.
Just like the Dodgers giving Yamamoto all that money.
Well, it didn't look like it was well-spent money today. All right, we'll take a break. We'll check some traffic, check the NCAA tournament scoreboard for you when we come back, when Chris continues.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Program 420 is the time. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby together today in our Odyssey Palace studios. Tony Gwynn Jr. working his way back from South Korea, where earlier today, the Padres, much earlier today, like 3 in the morning, Padres out-hit the Dodgers. The highest scoring game in the history of the Dodger-Padre rivalry. The most runs the Padres have ever scored in a game against the Dodgers. They've been playing the Dodgers for 55 years.
We're aiming for the big take, man.
Got it today, Fernando. 15-11, Padres beat the Dodgers today. Manny's three-run homer capped it off in the ninth. Crony. Yeah, can't have him hit in the three-hole, especially when he goes 4-for-4 with four ribbies.
Yeah, I needed 5 ribbies for him to stay there.
Okay, you're going to remove him.
I'm going to remove him after a 4-for-4 performance.
Jackson Merrill had his first two big league hits today. 2-for-5, hit one off the fence, like the top of the fence, for a double. Tyler Wade had two more hits. He's hitting .600. Good start for him. Campusano had 3 hits, 2 RBIs today. Bogaerts, 2 hits, 2 more RBIs for Xander today. And Max Muncy was terrible.
Should I play the clip?
No, leave it alone for a while.
There's a question on the chat about the game that they want us to answer. And the question is, are we happy that the bats are alive, or are we nervous that the pitching isn't there?
We're happy that the bats are alive.
All right. I agree.
The Dodgers can hit.
Yeah.
They can hit. They kept on coming. 16 hits for the Dodgers. They scored in 6 of 9 innings today. And I didn't expect the Padre bullpen would be as good today. Why? Because everybody had to pitch yesterday. Cosgrove pitched again today. Michael King made his debut.
It's probably better for him to make his debut as out of the pen.
But, I mean, the Padres, I don't know that this is going to be the way they do this normally. The bottom of the eighth inning, Stephen Kolek made his debut.
Yeah.
With a lead.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's because there was just no one else really available after they used 8 pitchers yesterday.
Yeah, he used a lot of pitchers in the first game.
You know, I expect the Dodgers to score. Padres walked 6 more batters today. Not the best, right?
Got to get that under control.
Got to get your control under control.
Yes, thank you. Are we worried about Joe Musgrove with his poor spring training and now first start?
Nope.
Okay.
Not even in the least.
Not either, but.
Not even in the least. He 2 2/3 today, allowed 7 hits and 5 runs. But oftentimes you pitch different with a 9-2 lead.
Yeah,
and,
you do.
You know, I don't know that you're as locked in as you might be normally. I'm starting to sour on the Mountain West Conference basketball again.
No.
It doesn't take long for me to get sour.
Are they blowing it?
You know, I mean, we already talked about this. Aztecs made their run last year, but other than the Aztecs, Mountain West Conference 0-11 in the tournament the last several years. And this year they get 6 teams in, and I'm like, you know, they got to do something.
Yeah.
Because if they don't, they're not going to let them get all these teams in again.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, what happens? Boise State looks awful last night. They get knocked out before the tournament even starts, really. Nevada blows a 17-point lead in the last 7 minutes just a little while ago and loses to Dayton.
Showtime!
And now Colorado State just went 8.5 minutes without scoring a point against Texas. And they're trailing by 7 with 5 minutes to go in the first half. So, I mean, it's just, you know, are the Aztecs going to have to carry all the weight again tomorrow? I hope they win.
Yeah, of course.
But, I mean, if you get 6 teams in the tournament, you've got to win some games. You don't want to look up on the weekend and there's no Mountain West teams even in the second round.
So you don't get any – do you get money for appearing in the tournament, but
yes,
you get extra money for a win?
You get money for appearing in the tournament, and then you get money if you win games.
Okay, yeah. Well, I knew about the winning games.
You're thinking about money. I'm thinking about the respect of the league. We feel in the Mountain West Conference like we're overlooked, but it's deserved when you go into the NCAA tournament every year and you don't do anything. It's hard to yell from the mountaintop when Mountain West Conference teams just get boat raced tournament game after game. you got to win some games.
Yeah, when all those people are like, oh, the Mountain West stinks, and then they do this, it's just it just makes them right.
So we'll see. We'll keep an eye on this Colorado State game. It's the only game going right now. Texas 18, Colorado State 11. 4 minutes to go in the first half. Colorado State has made one field goal in the last, like, 4 hours. It's crazy. They can't hit the broadside of a barn right now.
I mean, they got to have heavy legs, right?
Yeah, they played on Tuesday, but that's, you know,
part of the deal.
Nobody's going to use that as an excuse.
Yeah, that's true.
You got to win game. Either don't give me an excuse. Win games. Otherwise, we're going to say your conference sucks, and you're not going to be able to argue it.
That's true. I mean, it's true. The results speak for themselves.
Yes, they do. And, I mean, Dayton just wiped out Nevada's 17-point lead with 7 minutes to go. That was a complete, utter choke job by my buddy Steve Alford.
Why? I mean, why do we think this is? Do we think that the level of basketball is not as high in the Mountain West as we think? Or do they just not play well in the tournament?
Well, I don't know. The Aztecs proved it all wrong last year, right? They went all the way through.
But
these other teams have got to do something because it looks bad year after year for Mountain West teams to get knocked around in the tournament. And, you know, so far that's what's happening. But it's early, and I tend to get sour very quickly sometimes.
You do. We're also both kind of tired, I think. Well, I'll just say I'm really
tired. Speak for yourself.
I'm really tired today.
I taped the game last night, DVR'd the game, got up at my normal hour, went for my workout this morning, swam some laps, came back, watched the game. It's not that difficult. I don't know why you had to get up at 3 in the morning.
No, I didn't. I actually
didn't. You didn't have to.
I did to see it for 5 minutes, and then I fell back asleep, and then I woke up at 7 when it was 15 to 11. But
yes, and you immediately checked the score, which is really mind-boggling. You took the time to DVR a game, I'm assuming because you wanted to watch it.
I was going to fast-forward through it like you did. I was going to try your experience.
Yes, but I can do that without... You don't want to know the score before you start watching it. What for?
Like
you
said earlier,
that just seems silly.
It's weird that I do what I do, and for me, it's strange that you do by DVRing things, but I know I'm not in the majority because I like to see the final score.
If you're
going to
DVR something, it seems silly to then find out the score before you watch it.
My thought is, how did we get here? What happened? And then watching it, I know at some point something's going to happen. I know, I'm weird. I'm very weird.
You know what my wife does?
What?
She watches, she has a lot of things. But she watches The Bachelor every season.
Yes.
Or The Bachelorette.
Season number 30?
Oh, I know. It's been going on forever. But what she does is she gets on the web pages, and she knows where these are. I don't know. But she gets on the web pages. She finds out who the Bachelor picks at the end before she ever starts watching the show.
Oh, wait. Like the whole thing?
Yeah. The whole show is taped months in advance.
I thought that was like under lock and key, the results.
Evidently not.
Wow.
She finds out who they choose, and then she watches an entire seasons of show knowing the result. I give her a hard time about this. She says she wants to know. So who am I?
I mean, that's a lot of time you're investing to figure out what happens at the end. But if you already know, I guess for me, it would cut out all the middle.
Who's weirder? DVRing games and not knowing the score and doing everything I can to find out the score. Or Scraby for DVRing a game and then knowing the score before he watches it. I mean, I think it's a clear cut case of you being far more weird.
Well, I agree. I am far more weird. But Trucanosaur on YouTube says, I checked the score first, wasn't going to watch if the Dodgers won again, which is smart. But if I was doing this, like the only reason I checked the score is because it was at 3 a.m. and I needed to just know what was happening. If it was a 9 a.m. game or something, I'm not necessarily checking the score. I'm just going to listen on the radio or watch or something like that.
All right, it's crazy. Texas 20, Colorado State 11. Colorado State had 8 points in the first 2 minutes of the game. They've had 3 in the last 17 minutes.
Andros has a good point about you, Chris. He says he thinks you are working harder to keep your thing intact, meaning not knowing the score. I guess I'm not worried about that.
But things worth having are worth working for.
And Chris, for Andros, Chris is also a guy who doesn't necessarily have a cell phone on him all the time. So that's also
helpful. I have it nearby. I just don't have to look at it every 6 seconds like the rest of you.
Yeah, I know. It is a problem for me.
Big Five coming up next on Gwen and Chris.
Ben and Woods on the Fan.
All right, here we go. Today's biggest fan is...
What in the world?
Irish!
Today's biggest fan...
Oh, my God.
Calls back within 10 minutes at 833-288-0973, and you'll be registered to win our monthly grand prize.
All right, welcome back to Gwen and Chris. 4:36 is the time. I don't know what's more embarrassing. What happened to Nevada against Dayton? Nevada had a 17-point lead with 7 minutes to go. Got outscored 24-4 down the stretch. Nevada wins the game, or Dayton wins the game 63-60. Or what's happened to Colorado State at the now the end of the first half against Texas. This is pretty awful also. Colorado State missed 19 of its last 20 shots. They scored 3 points in the last 16 minutes. Texas went on a 25-3 run. So Colorado State gives up a 25-3 run. Nevada gives up a 24-4 run. Nevada loses. Colorado State's down 16 at halftime.
Come on, Rams.
Is there any wonder why I'm souring already again on the Mountain West Conference?
I mean, by tomorrow, is San Diego State going to be the only one playing it?
I hope so. I hope they're still playing.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, New Mexico and Utah State also play tomorrow. But, I mean, the Mountain West Conference just embarrassing itself in tournament play again, at least so far. 4:38 is the time. Chris Ello back with you. It's 27-11 at halftime. Really? Oakland already has 11 against Kentucky, and they played 7 minutes. It's Oakland 11, Kentucky 9.
What's the Oakland nickname?
Oakland's nickname, the Golden Griffins.
Wow.
Don't you forget it.
I did not know that. That's a good poll, Chris. Well, that is a good poll.
I don't know that anybody can actually double check me on that.
Let's see.
Oakland. I'm wrong. They're the Golden Grizzlies.
Oh, the Griffins were even better.
Yeah, Golden Grizzlies.
So Golden Grizzlies. That's all right. Yeah. I mean, I like the Griffins.
All right, two games underway right now. We'll keep you up to date on March Madness. Right now, it's not March Madness for me as a Mountain West Conference fan. It's March Maddening. Let's get to traffic in today's Big Five.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Before we get into it, this hour, 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Ashley Furniture. Celebrate and save at Ashley's anniversary sale with hot buys, your choice of color, starting at just $399. Ashley Sleep Mattresses starting at $250 plus. Receive a free adjustable base with select mattress purchases only at Ashley. Before we get into it, Chris, I want to shout out someone on the chat. Mr. Davis, who is 13 years old, loves the show, and was up at 3 a.m. to watch the Padres this morning.
So Mr. Davis.
Good for you, Davis. That is
Davis is his first name. You're calling him Mr. Davis.
Yeah. Davis is his first name.
I thought he's like a 9-year-old kid that you're referring to as Mr. Davis.
No, he's 13.
He's 13.
And he's on the he's on the chat right now, and he was telling me because I said I couldn't wake up. He said I was awake.
Yeah, you were unable to accomplish that.
Yes.
All right, Mr. Davis.
Mr. Davis.
Thanks for being a part of the show today. Let's get into the Big Five, Scrape. What do you have?
Number five.
So the Aztecs, as we know, get underway tomorrow against UAB. But I had someone ask me an interesting question, and I'm curious for Chris's thoughts on this. But the Aztecs are not being picked to win at all, as we know. But do you think, Chris, that they have a target on their back after going to the national championship last season?
I don't feel that. I don't feel that. I think they had it during the regular season. I think they had it in conference play. I think that everybody gave them their best shot. They got their best from San Jose State. They got the best from Wyoming. I mean, they had some really, really tough games, and hopefully it's hardened them for March Madness. But this year's team's different from last year's team. I don't think UAB is getting any extra motivation over playing a team that was in the finals last year. Just like I don't think anybody's going to get any extra motivation playing UConn. I mean, they're the champs, but you better be motivated regardless, or they're going to blow you right off the court. So, yeah, I don't feel that coming into the tournament. I mean, it was an unbelievable run. If they want to show highlights of Lamont Butler's jumper over and over again, cool with me. But this team's got to make its own story.
It does.
And I don't know that, you know, they're a marked team. I think UConn's marked because they're number one. Purdue, Houston, North Carolina, number one seeds. That's a target.
Yeah.
The Aztecs are not a target, I don't think.
But, I agree with you. I do. I think I don't get that feel either. You can kind of feel it when a team has that buzz around them, like, we want to take you down. But not to say that teams aren't scared of playing the Aztecs, but I just don't feel that same thing that we've maybe felt in the past. But it's going to be fun tomorrow.
I hope it's going to be fun. I'm already, you know, battening down the hatches for this game tomorrow.
Well, are you going to be okay? Now let me ask you this. Are you going to be taping this one?
I will DVR the game, and I'll probably start watching it about a half hour after it actually begins so that I don't have to sit through commercials and, you know, referee discussions over at the table and all of this boring stuff. I just want to watch the game. Just want to watch the game. So I probably won't start watching right
away.
All right,
I will not text you when...
You can, because I won't have my phone in front of my
face.
Oh,
you'll get it after.
Yeah, like most people have to have their phone in front of their face. I do not. I'm not addicted like that.
Number four.
I'm not addicted like that. You're right. It is a problem for me. You know who is taking being fired really well, Chris? Long Beach State basketball head coach Dan Monson. Here's what he said at his presser about his situation with the team.
You guys see the Seinfeld when George Costanza was trying to get fired and couldn't get lose his job and still going to work every day, and that's me. I'm a Seinfeld episode going on right now in real life.
It's true. It kind of is true. Well, his episode ended today. Long Beach State was beaten by Arizona, so they're out. But here's where the question is. Long Beach State's athletic director, who listens to this show when he can, said the timing of his decision to fire Coach Dan Monson was done with the hope it might trigger the exact run that led the team on its unexpected trip to the NCAA tournament. Bobby Smitherin said, quote, "My belief and hope is that by doing what I did and the timing of it, they would play inspired, and that's what they did. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but it worked," end quote. I'm up first. What are your thoughts on this comment? I love that Mr. Smitherin listens, but we have to be honest, and I'm going to be honest, and I think this is maybe a poorly timed comment, because I don't know that anyone thinks by firing a coach it's going to rally the team, and maybe he knows the players, maybe he knows the program a little bit better, and then he can determine that this would help them. I feel like it's a poorly timed comment. Chris?
I just think it's an odd response to the question, why did you fire your coach before the conference tournament?
Yeah.
And then keep him on as coach. Yeah. Why did you do this? I think it's kind of an odd choice of words to say, I was thinking all along that the best thing would be to fire him now so the players would
respond,
get fired up and hate me and, you know, play inspired basketball. And that's what they did. And then the comment, "I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but it worked." That comment is doing exactly what you're saying you're not trying to do, which is patting yourself on the back. And for him to take any credit for what Long Beach State did during this nice run they put together, just misplaced. Yeah. Misplaced. Sorry, Bobby. Love you.
Yes, please keep listening.
Yeah, right. Might have just lost a listener, but
we can't, just because we know the guy.
You can't say I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but it worked.
Yeah.
Because that's what you're doing, is you're taking credit for this, and you're an athletic director, and I'm sorry, you don't get credit for what these kids just did.
Now, Dan Monson also said that he doesn't have to answer questions that he doesn't want to because he's not being paid. Is that true?
I don't know.
Like, once they terminate your contract, do you stop getting paid?
I'm not sure.
Maybe he was joking.
I don't know how that all worked out, but...
Yeah, it was. I will give this to him. In a really good mood about being fired. Gotta say.
Number three.
The thing is we're looking at it from a point where, you know, Bobby Smithern's a guy that I know because he worked at San Diego State, and he used to listen to the show when he lived here, but I ran into him. They stayed at our hotel in Vegas a couple weeks ago. I talked to him.
Yeah.
So we're looking at it from really close. From really far away, it looks even worse on the athletic director to say what he said. And it doesn't look all that great that he fired this guy in the first place based on how well Long Beach State played.
Yeah.
So if you were trying to fire him because you wanted to light a fire into the team, by firing him and then having him do what he did, it, from the outside looking in, it puts you even in a worse light. So everything to me backfired on Bobby Smithern, even though he's trying to twist it around here and say that everything worked just as he planned. I kind of find that a little hard to buy.
Yeah, if this was like maybe Stetson's athletic director, I might say something.
Yes, you'd probably be a little more harsh. Yes.
Harsher words.
Yeah,
but
for
sure. I think we said what we needed to say.
Number three.
The Houston Dash and NWSL team fired former goalkeeper coach Matt Lampson, according to an NWSL spokesperson, following an investigation into allegations that he had, quote, crossed professional boundaries with a Dash player, which violates multiple league policies. Lampson has been suspended from future employment in the NWSL through the end of the 2024 season due to these violations and a lack of full cooperation with the investigation, the spokesperson added. There are strict rules against coaches having relationships with players, even if it is a consensual relationship. Chris, it's against the rules, yes. So the firing is just, but do you think this is a fireable offense?
I do.
Okay.
I just don't think it's the right... This is a really bad look. It's a really bad look to be the coach and be
what
having...
a goalkeeper coach? It's not the head
any
coach.
Any coach. Yeah. Any coach. It's a bad look. I was taught a long time ago, Scraby, do not dip your pen in company ink. It is a really good strategy with which to live your life. You don't have to follow it. It's not against the law if you do it. It just works a whole lot better when you don't.
Yes, you're right.
All right, so I'll leave it at that.
As a guy who did date a coworker and it blew up in my face... Yeah, this is not good. You probably should not be fraternizing with players because that can lead to some bad things. Like, what if you break up horribly and then now you got a player on the team that you're trying to coach, but they hate you because you guys broke up or whatever.
Well, let's move beyond that. Let's not even say that they have a relationship outside of, you know, their relations. It's going to get back to the other players.
Yeah,
that's true. And it's going to take away whatever respect you had as a coach before that. It just, it's pathetic is what it is.
Chris is way smarter than me today.
Number two.
Ronda Rousey, one of the most influential stars in UFC history, revealed this
week... Wait a minute, I'm only smarter than you today?
I was waiting for something and then it never came.
Yeah.
She revealed this week that she retired from mixed martial arts primarily because of a history of concussions. She retired from MMA at the age of 29 in 2016 after back-to-back knockout losses to Holly Holm and Amanda Nunes. During an Instagram Live to promote her upcoming release of her memoir, Our Fight, Rousey, who is now 37, said a long history of concussions suffered in her previous sport, judo, contributed to her decision to leave MMA. She said she was at her peak physically, but the concussion stopped her from continuing her career. Now, I read a little bit more about this, and it seems like she's saying judo caused these things, but people say UFC is also a very tough sport as well. I'm up first. Do you think down the road we'll be talking about the UFC or mixed martial arts like the NFL? I certainly hope not, because that means people are going to be suffering and people are going to have some bad head injuries. But I don't see how... I've always cringed when I've seen a UFC guy get knocked out and then they just keep getting punched until the referee like steps over it and stops the fight. It makes me cringe. And what I've heard from the NFL people and the NFL doctors, the concussion, what makes the concussion worse is when you have multiple strikes in a short period of time. And that's exactly what fighting is. So I do think one day we're going to be talking about this. I don't know that the UFC is really doing much, but I'm not educated enough to say for sure. Chris,
if you think we're going to have UFC fighting without people getting concussions and having long-term effects, you're kind of silly, aren't you? I mean, these guys are...
They're
going to go back to Tony's
around.
Word. They're pummeling each other
yes.
on a regular basis. The same as in boxing. The same happens in football. Concussions are going to be the result. I think you got to be smart enough going into these sports to know that it's a very real possibility. And I'm not going to outlaw the sport because people are smart enough to make up their own minds whether they want to go into it.
Yeah, yeah.
If no one wanted to do it, the sport would go away. And that would be it. But there's people who are more than willing to sacrifice whatever might come later to step into the octagon now. There's also another sport that I saw on Twitter last week. Don't know if you've seen this one yet, Scrabe. You probably have because you're more active on these things than I am. It is the World Slap a Person in the Face as Hard as You Possibly Can Championships.
Hey, do you know who owns that?
Who owns it?
Yeah.
I don't.
Dana White, well, UFC president.
There you go.
CEO. I believe it's the slapping
But
one.
Again, I mean, these people just sit there. They look at each other face to face. You have to let...
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one... The only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Before we get into it, this hour, 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Ashley Furniture. Celebrate and save at Ashley's anniversary sale with hot buys, your choice of color, starting at just $399. Ashley Sleep Mattresses starting at $250 plus. Receive a free adjustable base with select mattress purchases only at Ashley. Before we get into it, Chris, I want to shout out someone on the chat. Mr. Davis, who is 13 years old, loves the show, and was up at 3 a.m. to watch the Padres this morning.
So Mr. Davis.
Good for you, Davis. That is
awesome.
Davis
yeah, I'm just is calling his first name. You're Davis. Calling him Mr. Davis.
Yeah.
I thought his...
Yeah, Davis is his first name.
I thought he's like a 9-year-old kid that you're referring to as Mr. Davis.
No, he's 13.
He's 13.
And he's on the chat right now, and he was telling me because I said I couldn't wake up. He said I was awake.
Yeah, you were unable to accomplish that.
Yes.
All right, Mr. Davis.
Mr. Davis.
Thanks for being a part of the show today. Let's get into Absolutely. The Big Five, Scrape. What do you have?
Number five.
So the Aztecs, as we know, get underway tomorrow against UAB. But I had someone ask me an interesting question. And I'm curious for Chris's thoughts on this. But the Aztecs are not being picked to win at all, as we know. But do you think, Chris, that they have a target on their back after going to the national championship last season?
I don't feel that. I don't feel that. I think they had it during the regular season. I think they had it in conference play. I think that everybody gave them their best shot. They got their best from San Jose State. They got the best from Wyoming. I mean, they had some really, really tough games, and hopefully it's hardened them for March Madness. But this year's team's different from last year's team. I don't think UAB is getting any extra motivation over playing a team that was in the finals last year. Just like I don't think anybody's going to get any extra motivation playing UConn. I mean, they're the champs, but you better be motivated regardless or they're going to blow you right off the court. So, yeah, I don't feel that coming into the tournament. I mean, it was an unbelievable run. If they want to show highlights of Lamont Butler's jumper over and over again, cool with me. But this team's got to make its own story.
It does.
And I don't know that, you know, they're a marked team. I think UConn's marked because they're number one. Purdue, Houston, North Carolina, number one seeds. That's a target.
Yeah.
The Aztecs are not a target, I don't think.
But, I agree with you. I do. I think I don't get that feel either. You can kind of feel it when a team has that buzz around them, like, we want to take you down. But not to say that teams aren't scared of playing the Aztecs, but I just don't feel that same thing that we've maybe felt in the past. But it's going to be fun tomorrow.
I hope it's going to be fun. I'm already, you know, battening down the hatches for this game tomorrow.
Well, are you going to be okay? Now let me ask you this. Are you going to be taping this one?
I will DVR the game, and I'll probably start watching it about a half hour after it actually begins so that I don't have to sit through commercials and, you know, referee discussions over at the table and all
forever.
Of this boring stuff. Boring I just want to watch stuff. The game. Just want to watch the game. So I probably won't start watching right
all
away.
Right. I will not text you when...
You can, because I won't have my phone in front of my
you'll
face.
You'll get it after.
Yeah. Like all most right. people have to have their phone in front of their face. I do not. I'm not addicted like that.
Number four.
I'm not addicted like that. You're right. It is a problem for me. You know who is taking being fired really well, Chris? Long Beach State basketball head coach Dan Monson. Here's what he said at his presser about... his situation with the team.
You guys see the Seinfeld when George Costanza was trying to get fired and couldn't get lose his job and still going to work every day, and that's me. I'm a Seinfeld episode going on right now in real life.
It's true. It kind of is true. Well, his episode ended today. Long Beach State was beaten by Arizona, so they're out. But here's where the question is. Long Beach State's athletic director, who listens to this show when he can, said the timing of his decision to fire Coach Dan Monson was done with the hope it might trigger the exact run that led the team on its unexpected trip to the NCAA tournament. Bobby Smitherin said, quote, "My belief and hope is that by doing what I did in the timing of it, they would play inspired, and that's what they did. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but it worked," end quote. I'm up first. What are your thoughts on this comment? I love that Mr. Smitherin listens, but we have to be honest, and I'm going to be honest, and I think this is maybe a poorly timed comment, because I don't know that anyone thinks by firing a coach it's going to rally the team, and maybe he knows the players, maybe he knows the program a little bit better, and then he can determine that this would help them. I feel like it's, a poorly timed comment. Chris?
I just think it's an odd response to the question, why did you fire your coach before the tournament, before the conference tournament?
Yeah.
And then keep him on as coach. Yeah. Why did you do this? I think it's kind of an odd choice of words to say, oh, well, I was thinking all along that the best thing would be to fire him now so the players would
respond,
get fired up and hate me and, you know, play inspired basketball. And that's what they did. And then the comment, I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but it worked. That comment is doing exactly what you're saying you're not trying to do, which is patting yourself on the back. And for him to take any credit for what Long Beach State did during this nice run they put together, just misplaced.
Yeah.
Misplaced. Sorry, Bobby. Love you.
Yes, please keep listening.
Yeah, right. Might have just lost the listener, but
we can't, just because we know the guy.
You can't say I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but it worked.
Yeah.
Because that's what you're doing, is you're taking credit for this. And you're an athletic director, and I'm sorry, you don't get credit for what these kids just did.
Now, Dan Monson also said that he is not, he doesn't have to answer questions that he doesn't want to because he's not being paid. Is that true?
I don't know.
Like, once they terminate your contract, do you stop getting paid?
I'm not sure.
Maybe he was joking.
I don't know
that.
How that all worked out, but...
Yeah, it was. I will give this to him in a really good mood about being fired. Gotta say.
Number three.
The thing is we're looking at it from a point where, you know, Bobby Smitherin's a guy that I know because he works at San Diego State, and he used to listen to the show when he lived here, but I ran into him. They stayed at our hotel in Vegas a couple weeks ago. I talked to him.
Yeah.
So we're looking at it from really close. From really far away, it looks even worse on the athletic director to say what he said And it, you know, it doesn't look all that great that he fired this guy in the first place based on how well Long Beach State played.
Yeah.
So if you were trying to fire him because you wanted to light a fire into the team, by firing him and then having him do what he did, it, from the outside looking in, it puts you even in a worse light. So yeah. Everything to me backfired on Bobby Smitherin, even though he's trying to twist it around here and say that everything worked just as he planned. I kind of find that a little hard to buy.
Yeah, if this was like maybe Stetson's athletic director, I might say something.
Yes, you'd probably be a little more harsh.
Words.
Yes.
Harsher words.
Yeah,
but
for
I think
sure.
We said what we needed to say.
Number three.
The Houston Dash, an NWSL team, fired former goalkeeper coach Matt Lampson, according to an NWSL spokesperson, following an investigation into allegations that he had, quote, crossed professional boundaries with a Dash player, which violates multiple league policies. Lampson has been suspended from future employment in the NWSL through the end of the 2024 season due to these violations and a lack of full cooperation with the investigation, the spokesperson added. There are strict rules against coaches having relationships with players, even if it is a consensual relationship. Chris, it's against the rules, yes. So the firing is just, but do you think this is a fireable offense?
I do.
Okay.
I just don't think it's the right... This is a really bad look. It's a really bad look to be the coach and be
what
having...
What is a goalkeeper coach? It's not the
any
head coach.
Any coach. Yeah. Any coach. It's a bad look. I was taught a long time ago, Scraby, do not dip your pen in company ink. It is a really good strategy with which to live your life. You don't have to follow it. It's not against the law if you do it. It just works a whole lot better when you don't.
Yes, you're right.
All right, so I'll leave it at that.
As a guy who did date a coworker and it blew up in my face... Yeah, this is not good. You probably should not be fraternizing with players because that can lead to some bad things. Like, what if you break up horribly and then now you got a player on the team that you're trying to coach, but they hate you because you guys broke up or whatever.
Well, let's move beyond that. Let's not even say that they have a relationship outside of, you know, their relations. It's going to get back to the other players.
Yeah,
that's true. And it's going to take away whatever respect you had as a coach before that. It's pathetic is
Chris
what it
is. Way smarter than me today.
Number two.
Ronda Rousey, one of the most influential stars in UFC history, revealed this
week... Wait a minute, I'm only smarter than you today?
I was waiting for something and then it never came.
Yeah.
She revealed this week that she retired from mixed martial arts primarily because of a history of concussions. She retired from MMA at the age of 29 in 2016 after back-to-back knockout losses to Holly Holm and Amanda Nunes. During an Instagram Live to promote her upcoming release of her memoir, Our Fight, Rousey, who is now 37, said a long history of concussions suffered in her previous sport, judo, contributed to her decision to leave MMA. She said she was at her peak physically, but the concussion stopped her from continuing her career. Now, I read a little bit more about this, and it seems like she's saying judo caused these things, but people say UFC is also a very tough sport as well. I'm up first. Do you think down the road we'll be talking about the UFC or mixed martial arts like the NFL? I certainly hope not, because that means people are going to be suffering and people are going to have some bad head injuries, but I don't see how... I've always cringed when I've seen a UFC guy get knocked out and then they just keep getting punched until the referee like steps over it and stops the fight. It makes me cringe. And what I've heard from the NFL people and the NFL doctors, the concussion, what makes the concussion worse is when you have multiple strikes in a short period of time. And that's exactly what fighting is. So I do think one day we're going to be talking about this. I don't know that the UFC is really doing much, but I'm not educated enough to say for sure. Chris,
if you think we're going to have UFC fighting without people getting concussions and having long-term effects, you're kind of silly, aren't you? I mean, these guys are...
They're
beating
each other.
I want to go back to Tony's word. They're pummeling each other
yes.
on a regular basis. The same as in boxing. The same happens in football. Concussions are going to be the result. I think you got to be smart enough going into these sports to know that it's a very real possibility. And I'm not going to outlaw the sport because people are smart enough to make up their own minds whether they want to go into it.
Yeah, yeah.
If no one wanted to do it, the sport would go away, and that would be it. But there's people who are more than willing to sacrifice whatever might come later to step into the octagon now. There's also another sport that I saw on Twitter last week. Don't know if you've seen this one yet, Scrabe. You probably have because you're more active on these things than I am. It is the World Slap a Person in the Face as Hard as You Possibly Can Championships.
Hey, do you know who owns that?
Who owns it?
Yeah.
I don't.
Dana White, UFC president.
There you go.
CEO. I believe it's the slapping
but
one.
But again, I mean, these people just sit there. They look at each other face to face. You have to let the other person just basically rock the side of your face as hard as they possibly can.
That is crazy.
And then after you take one, you're allowed to give one back if you've survived the first one. But again, I don't blame Dana White for this. He's putting it out there. People don't have to do it.
Yep. It's like football. If you don't want to get a concussion, don't play football. It's your choice.
It is.
It's not like they're forcing you to do it.
We should protect people to the extent where we are giving them the knowledge that we are now giving.
Yes.
And at least we're doing that, which we never really did before. We just swept it under the rug.
We did.
So we are giving you the knowledge. If you still choose to participate, it's on you, as far as I'm concerned.
I agree. As a drunken idiot back in the day, I used to do these slap fights with friends. And I can't even tell you how many times I felt like I had a concussion from these things. And there's also a show called How I Met Your Mother, and they have slap bets. And so when you lose a bet, that person gets to slap you as hard as they can whenever they want, wherever they want. So it could be like a wedding or something like that. So we would do that too, like idiots. But it's dangerous. Dangerous. Very dangerous.
Yeah, you know,
I'm not a smart guy, Chris. I told you. Is that what you're about to say?
I'm going to leave it at that.
Okay. We need to get into JB Bickerstaff, but we do not have time to play his full clip. And it's a serious thing. So I think that we should do that on the other side so we can actually devote some real time to
this. Is that
this.
The number one?
That is the number one. And
let's hold off
on
that.
Yeah, and he's not happy with how things have gone.
Well, this is a really dangerous place that the NBA, you know, should have seen coming. I mean, and so should the NFL see this coming. And so should Major League Baseball see this coming. And everybody else who's crawled into bed with all of these betting
absolutely
people.
They need to do something about
this
it, too.
This story is not surprising to me. It was only a matter of when. And now it's come out. So let's see where we go. We'll tell you what it is and what it all means when we kick off the happy hour. Also coming up in the happy hour, an interview we did a little earlier in the week with Elijah Saunders of the Aztecs to get you in the mood for tomorrow's Aztec UAB NCAA tournament game. It's all coming up on Gwen and Chris.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.